Drew, what's going on? Do you know what's going on at the Walker? No. Well, see, that's why Dr. Kathleen Spears is here. She's a doctor. She's a PhD. She is the president and CEO of the Madam Walker Urban Life Center, the Madam Walker Theater. You know, the Walker has had an up, just like Madam Walker's life, has had an up and down history. But the building at the corner of Indiana Avenue, Dr. Martin Luther King, West Street, and North Street is still a vital part of this community. It is one of the iconic buildings, not just in the African American community, but in all of the Indianapolis community. And I am looking at a fancy thing that is saying the 2014-2015 season of the Walker Journey to Freedom at the Madam Walker Theater Center. The president and CEO is Dr. Kathleen Spears, and she joins me live. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
So now you have been the head person at the Walker how long now?
Well, I started as interim in January and became permanent in April of this year.
So now you're getting used to the gig.
I'm getting used to it.
Where were you before this opportunity came to lead the Walker?
I was president and CEO of Cancer Support Community, mm-hmm. and up on West 71st Street, an organization that provides free programs for people impacted by cancer. But I was also on the board of the Walker. And one of the board members, I had a meeting with her and said, I've been hearing some stuff about the Walker, and I don't like what I'm hearing. How can I help? I want to volunteer.
There's a whole lot of people hearing that.
Well, I was tired of hearing it. So I said, how can I help? And she said, well, you can join the board. And so we had a women's agreement, mm-hmm. that I would join the board and help out for a little while, and then one thing led to another.
So, obviously, you heard a lot of the stuff and the concern that's been out in the community as you have put together this season for the artistic season 2014-2015, sort of like school. The arts are sort of like school. Everything starts in the fall and ends almost in the summer. What are the goals and objectives for the Walker for this season?
Well, for this season, we really want to celebrate an individual story about their journey to freedom. Mm-hmm. And we feel like we had our own journey as an organization who was shackled by so many things. You know, the building had fallen into disrepair. We lost some patronage. We lost some financial support. And so all those things were holding us back and preventing us from really developing into the arts and culture organization that we're destined to be. And so over the course of about 12 months, the board and staff worked really hard to just one by one break those shackles, break them off, break free. And so we really felt like that the word freedom really resonated with us, because we feel like now we have the freedom to do creative programming, the freedom to go out and regain community support and patronage. And so now what we want to do is bring in artists, speakers, performers who have their own personal journey to freedom to share.
Let me start with a couple of housekeeping things that I think would be on the community's mind. A, does the heat work?
The heat works.
B, does the air work?
We have temporary air.
You still have the temporary air.
Right.
Is part of the challenge being able to get the resources to get permanent air? I know you got some big unit outside that it does well in making it cold in there. But is that one of the challenges the Walker still has to face?
The bigger challenge is that the facility is almost 100 years old. And so we find ourselves really searching for equipment that will fit our setup and our design. Mm-hmm. We've engaged in a partnership with a local, locally owned business who's helping us. And we're just struggling with finding the pieces, parts for it.
Is part of that because this is a official historic building and that limits how you can renovate?
Right. We do have a lot of rules and regulations that we have to follow in terms of regulation, because you're right. The building is on the National Historic Landmarks. It is a designated.
Not a registered. This is a real American landmark.
Right.
Like
exactly.
The Grand Canyon and stuff.
Well, yeah, that's National Park. Yes.
Okay.
So same level. Mm-hmm. And so we have very strict rules that we have to follow in terms of doing anything different to the building.
And the reason I brought that up, I don't think people realize, I mean, they know the Walker's a historic building. I don't think they realize it is on that level of historic building, like a Washington Monument, like a Grand Canyon, like a President's Home, where you really can't, if you touch it, you've got to
make it exactly the way it was. Yes, you can add air conditioning, but you can't gut the whole building out to do that.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that's really should be a source of pride for people in our community. This is really, it elevates the significance of the building. It's more than just an old building. It's a historic landmark. It has a lot of significance to the African-American community, certainly, and to the state of Indiana, the city of Indianapolis, and the entire country. So I think more people should really embrace that.
Is the purpose, or the wrong word, does the Walker Knapp today, in 2014, 2015, see as its purpose only to provide events that reflect African-American culture, will appeal to African-Americans, or is it also, is it partly that and also partly to have events that make y'all some money to help pay the bills?
Well, what we've done with this season is we've looked at arts and culture through the African-American lens, and what we found is that there are some performers that are not African-American, but who have a story that may resonate with African-Americans. And so we're hoping by doing that, that we attract African-Americans and other cultures to come in and engage. So we're, for example, Bethany Frankel is not African American, but her story.
Wait, that's that girl was on Bravo in there.
Yeah, she was.
Well, you know, sisters be watching Bravo now.
The Real Housewives of New York.
Yeah.
And she became a millionaire with her Skinny Girl cocktails. Mm-hmm. And so her story is interesting in that she, you know, built her millions on something very simple, and what some people, you know, compared to Madam Walker's hair care.
You've also got around the Dr. King weekend one of the young ladies who was wounded in the bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church back in 1963. I don't think people recognize that there were people wounded. They always heard about the four young ladies who lost their lives. I don't think people remember that there were young ladies injured in that tragedy.
Oh, that is absolutely the one I'm looking forward to the most. I've had a chance. You're speaking of Sarah Collins,
Sarah
Rudolph,
Collins,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've had a chance to speak with her. And so her sister, Addie Mae Collins, died in the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing. And she lost some of her eyesight. Mm-hmm. And her story is so interesting. She talks about how she had just hugged her sister moments before, walked away when the bomb went off. And if she had lingered with her sister a little while longer, she could have perished as well. But then she talks about how she can never get past that because she has to relive it practically every day. So when the people who caused the bomb were not brought to justice satisfactorily, she had to relive it.
Mm.
Each time she hears about it, she relives that loss of life of her sister and her friends and of some of her capacity. So it's that's what I'm most excited about. And that's free. That's going to be free to the community.
On Dr. King Day.
On Dr. King Day, we're going to do our thing. Hopefully you'll be there, Amos, and we'll start at the Urban League and, do our Freedom Walk, yes, on over to the Walker, and she'll speak, and we'll have some other performers, and I really want to bring the community together and rally around it. And so one person I was planning this said, you know, why do we keep going back to that? Why do we keep going back to the bombing? Why do we keep going back? And I said, we've never really left it because there's too much stuff going on right now that's mirroring what happened back in 1963 or before. I mean, even in Indianapolis, the increase in violent crime that we've been experiencing, the craziness that was going on in Ferguson that still goes on. So I always just kind of get a little agitated when people say, well, we need to forget about that. No, we don't.
Now, there's still Jazz on the Avenue once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got something new called Art on the Avenue. What's that?
Well, Art on the Avenue is an opportunity for local artists to develop an audience. And so if anyone's interested, we've got the next 3 months lined up and a few more. But, you know, give us a call or check our website. But local artists who would like to exhibit their art, we'll put it up on the first Friday, open up the fourth floor lobby, and we'll keep it on display for the entire month. And the art will be for sale. And so we had our first one in a long time this past Friday, and it was great. It engaged a lot of youth, and it was good to see a lot of young people at the Walker and taking in the art and the music. We had a DJ, and it was a good experience. I was really pleased with that.
You may have questions about the Walker, 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name with Dr. Kathleen Spears, the president and CEO of the Walker. She's been doing it now 9 months, 3 months interim, and the last 6 months as they had person. Let me go to Raymond. Hi there.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I have a question for you. You might have gotten my email because I sent it late, probably on Thursday or Friday. But I sent an idea or a suggestion about everybody getting to know the Walker again. Because as I was a teenager and in my early 20s, they used to have different shows there and a lot of local things. Now we have the Penrod Fair, the Talbot Fair. They have things in Broad Ripple Art Fair. They have all of these. And I heard you say a mention about the First Fridays. But is there something you can do to kind of become the hub again for the African-American community? Because the Walker is probably the most historic building that is easily recognizable, if not the most, and connected to IUPUI, I'm sure you could garner like a huge amount of support if everyone gets to kind of know you again, because it's almost like, oh yeah, there's the building that I crossed before I turned to go to West or 70 West or 65 or I head toward downtown. But inside with all of that space, can you have like some big mass thing that even if it's all inside like Talbot or Penrod that would be focused towards us and more on a regular basis and even be a facility like Amos gets all of the suggestions about round tables and the community coming together to open your doors and say, look, use us. You know, I don't know if that's something you've thought about to be on more of a grander scale that might not cost a lot of money because you already have the space and garner some nonprofit support or something. Have you thought about that?
All right. Chuck?
Sure. Yes, we have. So we've kept Jazz on the Avenue as a big part of our program because that's something that's very familiar to a lot of folks in the African-American community. Mm-hmm. It also pays homage to what the Walker was. It was the manufacturing plant for Walker hair care products, but it was also a theater and a lot of famous musicians back in the 20s and 30s performed at the Walker. And so Jazz on the Avenue kind of pays homage to that. Mm-hmm. And so we really encourage and invite everyone, and particularly African-American community, to come into Jazz on the Avenue. It's really inexpensive. It's $10 to get in. We use local jazz bands. Most of them are African-American. And it's really an opportunity to celebrate. And so I like to go because I see a lot of people there in their 60s and 70s, and they come up to me and they say, oh, man, I remember when I used to come to the Walker when I was this tall. And so it's kind of like a great opportunity to reminisce for people, but also to get people excited about the Walker again. And then in terms of community engagement, the mission of the Walker is to advance the legacy of our namesake through art, entertainment, cultural education, youth empowerment, civic engagement, and entrepreneurship. And so civic engagement brings to mind social justice and bringing the community together to talk about issues in the community that affect us and how we can resolve them. And so we have two programs under the civic engagement that are coming up this next season, and it involves bringing in community members and engaging dialogue with the community and becoming a hub. But we also don't want to get in the way of what the Urban League does and what Indiana Black Expo does. And so we kind of have this particular niche that we have found, and we work with those organizations to help them live their mission, and then we focus on some things that make sense for us.
Well, I think what the caller was, it may be alluding to, is mentioned in your program here under entertainment, where you're looking at possibly next June having some kind of outdoor thing that the tentative title is Indiana Avenue Music Crawl. That doesn't mean you're lit and you're crawling along the ground, but that's that's like going from place to place where there's music.
Right. We had our first one this year.
Okay.
And the Mosaic City organization kind of came together with the Indiana Avenue Cultural District and helped put that together. And basically, businesses along Indiana Avenue will have live music going on at the same time. So New Orleans on the avenue, the restaurant across the street, okay. Kurt Vonnegut up the street.
So it's a different way of an outdoor festival rather than the traditional outdoor festival that I think some people are used to. Or the old festival, the Indiana Avenue Festival, I think was the old name for it.
Right. Yeah. And I see that grow. I can see that growing. We kind of, we had a couple hundred people there this first year round, and I can see that really blowing up next year.
We're talking with Dr. Kathleen Spears, the new president and CEO of the Madam Walker Theater Center. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll ask about, they've got a partnership with the Indianapolis Public Schools. We'll find out what that's all about and others. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoon's Namus, or you can send us an email at praiseindy.com. Tomorrow, we start candidate interviews. All these people that want to be elected to something. Tomorrow, independent and libertarian candidates for Congress in the 5th and the 7th Congressional District and legislative candidates for state legislative offices. That kicks us off. It's After News with Amos after these.
Hi, this is Vanessa Summers, State Representative, and you are listening to Indiana Broadcasters Hall of Fame inductee Amos Brown right here on AM 1310, The Light.
Oh, this just in, before we continue our conversation with Dr. Kathleen Spears, President and CEO of the Madam Walker Urban Life Center, the old Walker Theater. This just in, Drew. The Baltimore Ravens, in the wake of the new video that showed Ray Rice, their star running back, punching the you-know-what out of his girlfriend inside the elevator, the Baltimore Ravens have fired Ray Rice. Terminated his contract. He gone. And I'm willing to say the other 31 teams in the National Football League will probably not pick brother up. So brother need to go to Canada or the Bolivia Football League or something. But the Ravens just fired him. Just thought we'd bring that on. Anyway, 239-1310 with the Walker. One of your partners this year is the Indianapolis Public Schools. That is a first. How did that come about? And what does that involve?
We've been partners with IPS for a few years now, okay. But what it involves is allowing students in school district to experience some of our programming at low to no cost. Our youth programming, our youth empowerment programming is the largest part of that is Camp Kumba, summer, winter, and spring camp. Mm-hmm. But we also have a program called Project Pride, which helps to instill pride in our youth. Helps them develop cultural identity and pride in who they are. There's a lot of research that says people who have self-love and pride in their culture will tend to do less things that embarrass or mark that culture or that that ethnicity. So, and then it also allows our youth to develop a voice and help articulate some of the concerns and issues they have with what is going on in the community. So a lot of times we come together as adults and say, here's how we fix this, and we don't engage the youth who are actually affected by it or sometimes at the root of it.
You've also got the third Thursday of each month, you've got a movie night, but these are movies with a message.
Right. So Walker was originally founded as a movie theater. As you know, the Indiana Theater up the street is no longer in existence. African Americans had to pay triple or four times more to see a movie than Caucasians back in that day. So Mr. Ransom, when he was developing the Walker Building, put in a theater so that we could see movies, the same price. So, but yeah, Throwback Thursdays, the third Thursday of every month, is a film that's tied to the cultural significance of that month, and it also tells very interesting stories. Again, something related to freedom.
239-1310. 239-1310 is after his name is to the phones. And Clarice, hi there.
Hi, how are you?
We're fine. What's up?
Hi, it's you again. I would like to volunteer, too. I didn't know how to go along with doing it, but I would like to volunteer. I support them all the time with all the events down there, but I never knew how to volunteer, to get engaged and all that. So how would I do that?
Clarice wants to volunteer.
All right. Well, thank you, Clarice. There's a couple of ways you can do that. If you want to go to our website, there's across the top, it'll say Support the Walker, and you click on that, and it'll take you to another area where you can click on Volunteer and fill out the volunteer application. Or you can call 236-2099 and ask to speak with Fran, and she's our lead event attendant and coordinator of volunteers, and she'll take your information and get you engaged.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, appreciate it. Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, good afternoon to you and your guests.
Yeah.
And you might already have answered my question, but I wanted to know, is it possible to have movies at the Walker Theater, the first or second run movies, or do you not have the equipment, or what?
The caller's asking for the brand new movies, the brand new, or after they at the brand new movie theater, you get them second. Is part of that also that people don't know that movie theaters don't show film anymore? It's all digital and it's all new special equipment that's expensive as all get out.
That's part of it. I met with the president of the Heartland Film Festival to talk about partnership, and he said when they bring films to the community, sometimes the movie theaters don't have you know, the sophisticated equipment that's necessary. But we're digitized, and so we have a projector and screen and all that, but we rent them that have been out, or repurchase them after they've been out for a long time, because there's still a significant fee, even if they're second run. So but we are bringing back movies. Throwback Thursdays is the third Thursday of every month. A lot of them are documentaries, or tell a story again about freedom, because that's the theme of this season.
Well, let me go back to Heartland. Is Heartland looking at using you, if not this year, in subsequent years, if you've got the same equipment that other theaters have to show those kind of movies showcased at a film festival?
Yeah, we've talked about that, and I was really pleased with the conversation. So they do a thing called Traveling Roadshow, mm-hmm. and so Mr. Lowry indicated that they had equipment that travels that they could bring to the Walker and set up temporarily to show a film, you know, and particularly films that he and the group feel should be in front of our clientele, right, and our constituency.
Let me go to Michael at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, guy?
I'm fine.
Hey, young lady, I need to ask you a couple questions, because I heard earlier when you were talking about some of the funding, you know, that you guys get. One, I wanted to ask, do you get any federal funding because of it being a historic site?
That's a great question. Is there any federal funding because you're a historical site, or are there any federal grants that the Walker might be eligible for?
Right. There are grants that we're eligible for. We haven't gotten any federal funding in the last few years, but that's certainly on our plan. And we've submitted some federal grants, so pray for us.
Reason why I asked is I'm from Dayton, Ohio, and you guys know about the poet Pahlars Dunbar, and it's run by the Fed. It's federal. It's historical, but also the state and city contribute to some of the maintenance and the care of his home. And my other question is, with it being a federal and historical site, how come the state of Indiana is not giving you some kind of funding to help keep in the maintenance? Because, you know, I'm quite sure they're doing it for, the monument in the circle. So why not there?
That is a great question. And the historical site in Dayton is what?
Pahlars Dunbar's home. Right. And then they also have, they call it Wright Brothers and, Dunbar Way. And I haven't taken part of it because they did it after I moved to Indianapolis. But I see the same people that go, that give you the tours in Dr. King's mm-hmm. home in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are questions that I wanted to know about, because, you know, it seems like there's funding out there for you, or either there's funding that, you know, you guys are getting because of the Walker. And, you know, you're entitled to it. If they're going to dictate to you what you are going to do, have to do the originality, then they should be able to give you some money to keep that in line. And you shouldn't be out here having to, you know, look for events to keep yourself going. That's good, but it's also that, you know, you need to get some money from them, too.
It's interesting. While you were talking, that I pulled up the information about the Paul Lawrence Dunbar House, and it is a historic National Historic Landmark, designated that in 1977, which was several years after the Walker has, and it is operated by the Ohio Historical Society, which is a little bit different than the Walker, that has its own nonprofit. So I think that explains the state funding for that. It doesn't sound like there's federal funding, though it's listed here under the National Park. I've got to see whether the Walker is listed under this website for the National Park Service. But that's a great suggestion, because Dr. Spears sounds like she's looking at any way you can get some funding, you're going to try to figure that out.
Exactly.
You know, because I'm going to be honest with you, I've been here 10 years, and I'm really looking forward to going down there to see Maceo.
Oh, yeah, that's Thursday.
Maceo Parker, mm-hmm. James Brown's Hornets, is going to be playing at the Walker during the jazz thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to it because I've never experienced the Walker. So, you know, I want to get down there and see it. And if it's, you know, what she was saying, you know, what really took me was, you know, at least we do have a building that is a part of the African-American community, and it's historical here in Indianapolis. So we need to do everything we can to keep it around because, you know, it's like they always find a way to do away with what is ours.
Well, I appreciate that, Michael, and I appreciate you coming down to see Maceo Parker on Thursday. And that's one way to really help is if the community gets engaged and comes to our events and supports our events, then the larger community will see that there's significant value in supporting the Walker and keeping it going. And we certainly have been in conversations with state representatives in talking about state funding as well as federal funding. And the city, we get funding through the Arts Council, so you may or may not know this, but the city channels all of its arts and culture funding through the Arts Council of Indianapolis. And so the arts and culture organizations then submit grant applications to the Arts Council for funding. So
well, that's good.
Yeah, so
that's
we're
good. I just want to see you getting money.
Well, I appreciate
that.
That's
all I care about, okay?
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You guys have a great day, and God bless, okay?
I appreciate it. 239-1310. We go to Pierre right quick. Hi, Pierre.
Oh, hello, Amos. I'm sorry. I wanted to comment on something else, so I don't
want to. All right. Then let me put him back on hold, and we'll come back and get him for a minute. So if people we've heard in order to, if you want to volunteer at the Walker, you just call 236-2099 and ask for
Fran Mays.
Okay. And there's a website for the Walker that will tell you everything that is in this lovely brochure that I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm. It's www.thewalkertheater.org, and of course, theater is spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E.
So now here we are on the 8th of September. What is immediately upcoming at the Walker?
Well,
Savion's coming back.
Yeah. Well, September 12th is Maceo Parker in partnership with the Indie Jazz Fest.
Okay.
And then, of course, our Throwback Thursdays will be coming up. We're showing Che and trying to engage the Hispanic and Latino community.
Mm-hmm.
Savion Glover will be here October 10th. And his story that he's sharing about is his journey to freedom from domestic violence. And so it's a story called Maria's Voice. And he will be performing a really beautiful, artistic, poetic show about a woman's struggle to become free from domestic violence.
Ah.
I won't spoil it for you, but it's very heartwarming and very touching.
So if you want more information, if you want to get tickets, you can buy tickets from the Walker website. Avoid the Ticketmaster tax.
Right.
I can say that because Ticketmaster, I don't need to talk to them anything. So I'm not getting anybody in trouble. You just go to thewalkertheater.org. You got to have the V there. Thewalkertheater.org. Thewalkertheater.org. If you want info, you can email them at info@thewalkertheater.org or you can call them at 236-2099. Everybody knows where the Walker is, even if you haven't been there. You need to go there. It is a National Historic Monument right there on the corner of Dr. Martin Luther King, West Street, North Street, and Indiana Avenue. And it is historic, and you ought to be there. And it's now led by Dr. Kathleen Spears, the new president and CEO. Thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.
Thank you for having me.